the Son of the one true God. Thank you, Jesus, for our recovery. Yeah, we made it to 10, right? The year's flown by. What I have for you guys tonight is really kind of a mishmash of the Sully teaching and a little bit of my own experience, strength, and hope. So, yeah. Obviously, 10 is where we're now, right? Through some of our pain, right? If you're like me and you got here because you found the gift of desperation, now you're at a point where if you've made it to step 10, right, you've probably been removed from some of the real hardship and the difficulties in your life, and that could be a good thing, right? We like that. We are joy of the Lord, right?
Amen.
Right? So we're hoping that's where you're at today. If you've not worked up to 10, get to stepping, right? It's about steps, right? We're not just a spiritual program. We're a program of action, right? And so for that, I used a little bit of knowledge from this book. This is the 12 Steps for Christians. And like I said, I use a little bit of Sully's work. But step 10 is just like it's... Oh, sorry. Just like we said, step 10 is where we continue to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So I'll open with my own 10th step, right? I really was asked to do this just right before the weekend. And you know how we are as addicts and alcoholics. Kind of do what we like to do, and then the discipline finds us a little bit later. So I started looking at some of the materials over the weekend, but I didn't really put this together until today. So I'm just going to be transparent, honest, that, right, I'm really going to rely on my own experience, strength, and hope, because that's what my sponsor told me to do. All right, so first of all, right, I want to recognize that this community, for me, is life-saving. Right, when I came into community for the first time, it was because I had lost my community. When I came into recovery, it was because I was asked to leave my home. I was asked to not be a father. I was asked not to be a husband. I was asked to, set my own house right, set my own house in order, so that I could, right, hopefully be welcomed back. And that was all, on faith, man, because I didn't know what I was in for when I started the steps. And this is from, 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because like I said, we can get through our steps and we can get, even for me, it was like just 1, 2, and 3. And I thought I was on firm ground. And honestly, that wasn't enough, because as I started to work on 4, it was getting hard again. It wasn't that firm again. It was getting shaky for me. I didn't want to admit all of my past. Especially, I didn't want to admit my part in those upsets and those resentments and my justifiable anger, don't you know? Right? So, we can think we're standing on firm ground, but unless we're really, building our house, right, as the wise men, and doing it with a firm foundation as Jesus as our rock, then, right, then we can be careful and work our program and make certain not to fall. And that really is just a lead in into this idea that, right, by the time we get to 10, right, we can switch slides. Oh, my slide guy, I got a slide thing. Where is it? Hoping it works. I can see him. Anybody? Anybody? No, it's a computer. Anyway, as I was saying, so for me, one of the first things that became evident that I wasn't paying attention, right? If I was paying attention, if I had been aware, then, right, I would have noticed that my wife was starting to get wise to my my ways. And you got that slide for me, Mark? There's the quote I just read from Corinthians. And next slide.
Did you turn it on?
Yeah. Up is on, right? And the right one is the switch. Yeah, it's not doing it. Do I point it to you?
There
we
go. No,
I hit it.
Just tell me when.
Okay.
Raise your hand when you're ready.
So, yeah. Like I was saying, so now that we've kind of gotten out of these destructive behaviors, right, awareness was coming back, right? I was starting to become aware of, right, what got me there. And then, right, paying attention in the rooms, I started to see people who had something that I wanted. And that was really, for me, it was Jesus right away, because my first sponsor, you know, he started a meeting at his church, and that's where I was attending, and it was very clear that he was a man of God, and he had a lot of wisdom. And I'll be honest, though, right, and transparent, the thing that most attracted me to my first sponsor was he could make the room laugh. You know, we could be a glum lot, right? And that's not very attractive. And what was attractive to me was his joy of the Lord, his spirit of being able to take a really intense share and just with a couple of words bring life back into the meeting and remind us why we're doing this. So, right, that kind of serenity was really cool, that we could be talking about something calamitous, something just upsetting and earth-shattering for us, and then he could bring it back to serenity, right? And that was a beautiful thing for me. So, that quote, "Nameless to match calamity and serenity," is right out of the big book, page 68, so... So that was a start, right? Awareness. And then now we're at 10, right? And so we've done all our work. Next slide, please. And we have to move into acceptance. And so acceptance of this fact that, right, we could be on unstable ground if we are not doing what we're called to do in step 10, right? In step 10, we're called to take these inventories and right those wrongs. And so... what the 12 Steps for Christians talks about is this idea that, right, if we lose serenity, right, then we can do a quick spot check inventory, right? We can take care of that in real time by making a routine summary of all the previous steps that we've already done. So, right, that kind of wisdom of the 12 steps that you can solve any problem by just working the steps is really a beautiful thing. And when you do it in earnest, right, we have to do each of these steps, right? We have to list out an inventory. We have to admit what we find to another human being, right? To God, of course. Be willing to have our heart changed by God and by Jesus and what he says in his word. Rely on those promises that he can remove the shortcomings. And then again, you know, do the hard work of right, accepting that I have to do something. I have to look at what amends I need to make. I need to actually take an action, right? Maybe make restitution. Whatever it is, however you're going to resolve that with the individual that you had your conflict with, or the institution for that matter, right? You're going to do that. You're going to take that inventory, and then you're going to, again, accept when to do so would harm them or others. You would make that amends. And so that's a quick overview of, like, right, that acceptance piece. I have to do this, right? I'm faced with it. There's no alternative. I can go, right, that old saying of, right, you can practice what we have, you can do what you've always done, and then you'll get what you've always got, right? If you want to go back to the way it was, right, keep doing it the same old way. But if you want something different, you'll take these steps. You'll move into action, which is this next one. So why do we have to move into action? Again, from page 66 of the big book, it says, if we were to live, we had to be anger-free. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. How many of you guys have had that hangover? Have had that, right? Just not able to move on. I'm so stuck, and I'm so resentful. The brainstorm, the idea of that, right? What's the most dangerous neighborhood, right? Right, between the ears. You don't even have to leave the house to get into a dangerous neighborhood, right? You just have to wake up without reading the word or without doing a devotional. And you'll get there quick, right? So again, as it says in 66, right? They may be dubious luxury for normal men, but for the alcoholic, these things are poison. Right? And you guys know what they say about poison. Everybody knows what they say about poison, right? Anybody who wants to help me? What do they say about poison? Yeah, you're drinking it and you're expecting the other person to get sick when really you're just poisoning your own mind. Next slide, please. So that's the why, but then what, right? The what is the action? So again, page 85. Somebody want to read that out loud for me? Who wants to read that slide? First part. That's right. How do you avoid the mind storm? Right. Daily maintenance. Okay. And who can read this out of Romans 12:13 for me? Another volunteer to read?
For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you.
Yeah, and so again, we're talking about step 10, right? We're talking about the kind of person who has the Spirit of God in them, who's willing to step into God's will, right? And that means you have to be sober-minded, right? If you're doing that, then you're probably sober-minded, right? You've probably, again, got that daily reprieve. You're not picking up. You're not using, right? And you're beginning to get to this point where you can believe that you have sober judgment. For me, that was a stretch, right? I mean, I was crazy when I was in my active addiction. I did not believe myself to be able to have sound judgment. And until I got over the fear of my fourth step, and you guys have heard me share this before, right? For me, I was petrified of being completely honest. I'd never been completely honest with anybody. I didn't understand why honesty would be to my advantage when, right, lying for even the stupidest reasons seemed to give me a hit. You know, it was like a replacement drug. What can I get away with? Right? So, you know, for me, it was 2 Timothy 1:7, right? I have not a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. For me, the sound mind was a critical piece of that. Of course, I wanted love. Everybody wants love. Everybody wants acceptance. Right? Power, right, that can be abusive. I abuse my power in many instances, but right, this was God's power, completely different than anything I ever had before. But it was the sound mind piece. It really was one of those of God's promises where, wow, if I could have a sound mind again, I'm in. Sign me up. And sure enough, once that verse was sewn onto my heart, I was able to press forward and do that really difficult second inventory of all my resentments and all my fears. So next slide, please. So right, that's the action part. We got to do those inventories. We got to do the hard work on a daily basis. We got to maintain our spiritual reprieve. And now it's like maintenance, okay? So now it's really about, okay, in the moment we know what to do. We've practiced that. We're beginning to get good at the spiritual reprieve. We're beginning to live as an experience of God and for God, right? We're willing to be subject to follow the steps of our future, right? To step into the destiny that He's ordered for us. And that's part of it, right? You've done these spot check inventories, and you're beginning to rely on the, right, the nudge from the judge, that little, right, that little unsettling of your spirit that says, okay, what's my part in it? Mm-hmm. Not easy to do, right? Because you have to be conscious. You have to be God conscious. You have to accept that God's now has that kernel of our mind, and it is, right, the tapping on the shoulder, you know, the nudging awake. And you can also do it as a daily inventory. For me, I was most buoyed in my recovery step-taking journey when, as I alluded to at the very beginning, a lot of my story is, you know, the marital discord and the disrupt that caught my alcoholism and addiction and really sexaholism was you know, part and parcel why I was losing my marriage. So when my wife agreed to enter 12-step recovery as part of a coupleship in the program, the 12-step program, Recovering Couples Anonymous, we learned about tools, and we were learning about how to, right, be a couple again and return to some level of, you know, just spiritual intimacy with one another. And when she heard about the 10-step, which was like within the first weekend, what we did was we went to our first RCA meeting, and then the next thing we did in that fellowship was go to a 3-day retreat. So we went right from just a toe-in to like, you know, full immersion mode. And so we learned about tools, and we heard other couples talk about how they did a daily 10th step. And it was awesome, because what we learned is that we could every night review our day and admit something that we felt we did that was empowering to our coupleship. And then we could also say with one another something we commit to do better for the other person. And it's just a really powerful way to kind of be grateful for not only what we had in the day, but also what we can do better. And, you know, we could commit to it with one another. And then that last piece, again, is the long-term periodic inventory. I'd like to hear from somebody that maybe does that on a regular basis. I've been working with a sponsor for a long time and has maybe gone through that. Is it once annual or is it twice annual? Who's working an annual inventory with their sponsor? Great. You want to talk about how that works? As loud as you can.
Hi, Tammy.
Once again, I got that freedom. So, okay. I hope I explained that.
Yeah.
Give me a call. Thank you.
everyone will get a chance to share here. I'm going to wrap up. Can you skip to 11? So again, that was an example of actually one before that. Long-term periodic. There it is. Yeah. So again, right, the thing I want to call out that's really powerful about this inventory is when I was doing it with my sponsor on a regular basis, I would actually do it right around the holidays, right? And it was a way to just connect and thank my sponsor for all his service. Thank you. Because, right, it's difficult. Now that I'm sponsoring people myself, I can really feel the impact. I'm sponsoring people in two different programs. And, right, if you're in RCA and you're sponsoring a couple, it's twice as much work because you got a husband and a wife, right, and a partner. And so it can be really demanding. And so I always wanted to be able to have an opportune moment to thank my sponsor and then just review what we've done. And the other thing that I don't want to, miss on this is how important it is to take that perspective, right, to take the time to schedule it out and get a perspective on how you've done over the course of the year. And you can really see some, miraculous changes, right? Because he's a God of miracles, right? There's stuff that you're going to be able to recall that was truly of God and for God and by God, right? And that can reinstill our hope and can give us courage, right? And the other thing that you don't want to lose fact of is how powerful it is as a step towards your personal growth and your spiritual growth to notice what you've done right. Right? We beat ourselves up. We are, right? Yeah, we are tough on ourselves, right? And, if you're like me, you're the kind of alcoholic that was really part of that black and white thinking. It was all good or all bad. In my past, it showed up in pretty much everything I did. I was a soccer player, and I would either score the winning goal or I would get a red card, right? I didn't know how to be in the middle. It didn't work for me. So it's a great tool for spiritual growth, just to see where you've come from and where God's brought you because you're living this spiritual life now. So again, right, this is one of the truths is that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We can live in that truth. But, right, let's do that regularly. Let's make sure we're reminding ourselves of these truths by doing the inventory. So, to wrap up, we're going to go to the next slide. What I really want to question you guys on tonight and challenge you on tonight is, like, what is the habit that's most rewarding or most renewing in your mind? So one more slide. Oh, yeah, didn't want to lose that. The 10-step prayer, obviously. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done, right? That's the... that should be, if that's not in your morning repertoire, then, right, get to step in. You got to get to 10 to learn that, right? If your sponsor doesn't make you learn that, right, you might have a different result than I have and my sponsors have, but, right, that's part of it. And then, and I do want to say just on the top piece of that, right, every day is a day we must carry God's will in our lives. A lot of people want to, and again, I'm not saying I do anything different or perfect, but I know how difficult it is to say, "Oh, I can't follow God's will in my work." If I'm outed as a Christian in my workplace, it's not going to go well. And so, just a quick sidebar on my story is that when I was working my steps, I was graced by God. I had been pretty much blacklisted in Silicon Valley and now was working as a nighttime security guard. But it was with Homeland Defense. So I was working as a government contractor in Berkeley, a very liberal place. And, talking about Jesus in that kind of work environment is probably not a great idea. But I did it anyway because it was God's will for my life. And it happened to be the two people I worked closest with were both butch lesbian women. And they had already kind of blackballed me as a Bible thumper. But I continued to pour into them, continued to just invest in them. And they actually began to tell me their story of, you know, kind of the traumas that they'd been through and how they'd come to where they were. But they both had Christ-centered families originally. So it's possible. You can do it. You just got to submit to God's will for your life and be honest with that. Okay, and so we're almost to the questions. This is, next slide, please. Yeah, just kind of wrapping up on the big book readings for the 10th step. Just recognizing that, right? You've been through a lot at this point. If you've worked 10 thoroughly, right, you've begun to really have that God-inspired strength, right? You're getting the direction and you're following His will for your life, right? And you're just in the flow, you know? I mean, this is a beautiful place to be at, but at the same time, to continue to grow on that spiritual path, we begin to get ready for step 11, which is the power of prayer and meditation in our lives. So that's how they wrap up step 10 in the big book. Next slide. Thank you. So now this is where you guys get to jump in. Though what I want to leave you guys with is this idea that, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, which of one of these tools are you using? Is it the daily inventory, the spot check inventory? Are you, right? Some of us are doing the annual, twice annual inventory with our sponsors. But then follow that up with this idea of which tool can I now begin to use because I see that I'm truly being called to step into God's will for my life. Cool? Last quote, the biblical principle of all of this, right, is to press on towards the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me from Philippians. Because this is, right, the promises are there, man. We can grab the ring, but you got to lean into it, right? Get to step in. Thanks. I'm Aloha Ed, and I appreciate your time. Thank you. Good job.